Genesis chapter 32. Genesis 32. 3 years ago, none of us would have imagined that our world would be in the pandemic it's in right now and the chaos that we see all around us. We wouldn't have dreamed of it. Neither do any of us know what the future holds. Lockdowns may interfere with our plans and our dreams. Illness may threaten our well-being. Accidents may shatter our peace. Heartbreaks may lie ahead. We just don't know. We don't know what the future holds. And as a result of that, when we face fearful events that are unknown, it's troubling. It is troubling to face the fearful unknown. And Jacob here was facing the fearful unknown. And in Genesis chapter 32, Jacob had fled. He had left from Laban up in Haran, and he's now on his way down to his home area. And he knows that one of the things he's going to have to meet is he's going to have to meet his brother. And the last words that he heard from his brother is, "The next time when Dad dies, you're a dead man. I'm going to kill you." And so he's got all these thoughts running through his mind as he's heading south, headed toward Dad. Now, I put up our map here tonight so you can see the rivers. The Jabbok River comes in here. I'm pretty sure this is the Jabbok. It might be this one. I should have looked it up. And if you find one on your map and you want to tell me the difference. But anyway, it's one of these two rivers. And he came down and he was just north of the Jabbok River. And it was there that he was, he had left Laban. Laban took off and went back to the north. And Jacob's there, ready to cross over, ready to come down into the homeland and enter into the area where, remember, Dad had settled down here in Beersheba area. He's headed down this direction and headed that way. And we find ourselves in verse number 1, a very critical verse of the chapter. And it says, "And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him." Don't miss that. That's an important thing. As we look at this year tonight, we're going to see how Jacob faced the unknown, the fearful unknown. The first thing he did is he realized, we need to realize that God is watching over us. And Jacob didn't know it. This whole time, he's faced there with Laban. There's the conflict with Laban, and Laban wanting to, you know, take his daughters and all the animals back, and God gives him the dream and says, "Don't touch him, don't say anything to him, you leave him alone." And God rescued Jacob. And now Jacob says here in the very first verse, "And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him." And then in verse number 2 it says, "And when Jacob saw them, he said, 'This is God's host.' And he called the name of the place Mahanaim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, into the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, 'Thus shall ye speak unto my lord Esau. Thy servant Jacob saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now. And I have oxen and asses and flocks and men servants and woman servants. And I have sent to tell my lord that I may find grace in thy sight.'" So Jacob here, he first thing is God does for him is he reminds him that God is with him. And you know, when we face the fearful unknown, we need to remember God is with us. God has not forgotten us. And just as the angels of God were there watching over Jacob, I believe that God still has angels watching over us. That's something we don't talk about very much. That's something we don't hear about very much. But let me give you some examples throughout Scripture that will help us to see that. Remember back in the story of Elisha, back in 2 Kings chapter 6, Elisha was the enemies of Syria had come down, and they were coming down to Samaria, and they were coming down looking for Elisha, and they were coming after Elisha, and as they came after him, they had surrounded where he was. He was in Dothan, and Dothan's not on our map, but they were surrounding Dothan, and the next morning when they got up, the servant of Elisha woke up first, and we read in verse number 15 of 2 Kings 6, it says, "And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host," speaking of the host of the Syrian soldiers, compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And the servant said unto him, Alas, master, how shall we do? For, and he answered and said, all right, now this is the key thing. Elisha answered and said, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. So the mountainsides were full of horses and chariots of fire. God had sent his angels down to protect him. So the Syrians had circled the city looking for Elisha. They're going to capture Elisha because they thought Elisha was, well, he sort of was, with God's help, was telling the king of Israel the secrets of the king of Syria. And that's exactly what was taking place because God told him to. And now they're after Elisha, and Elisha is protected, and God allowed Elisha to see that the angels of the Lord were around about him and protecting him. We come a little bit closer to our day and age when we get up in the days of Jesus. And Jesus also said in Matthew chapter 18, verse 10, Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. That's in Matthew 18:10. So Jesus said that the angels of God are protecting the little ones. And each one of them, Jesus said, had an angel watching over them. You know, we don't talk much about that, as I said a moment ago. But we read back in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 13 and 14, where this comes right directly to us. And he says, But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who should be heirs of salvation? What is God telling us? He's saying here that the angels of God, one of their jobs is to minister to us who are heirs of salvation. So God has angels that are there to minister to us. They're to help us. They're there to encourage us. So when we face the unknown future that is so frustrating and sometimes very frightening, we need to remember, first of all, God is there with us. God has not left us. He's right there with us. And God is watching over us. And that is something we need to remember. And Jacob saw this. Now, here's something for you to chew on. And we're not going to dig into this. I'm not even going to dwell on it. But I want you to think on this. This is something cool. Verse number 1, it says again that the angels of God met him. The word angels there is the same word that we find down in verse number 3. The same Hebrew word. Verse 3, it says, And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau. The word messengers and angels is the same Hebrew word. Then later on down in the story, we'll see it in just a few moments, Jacob sent servants to take the sheep and the cattle and the donkeys and things ahead of them to meet Esau. So there he took sent servants down. Here he sent messengers down. Who were these messengers that he sent down? There's a possibility, and I'm only throwing out as a possibility for you to chew on. It might have been one of the angels. I don't know. That's a possibility. He met the angels. Why did God all of a sudden, just out of the clear blue, tell us that the angels met with him? I don't know. Maybe it's to encourage him. Maybe it's to encourage us. Maybe it's to let us know that these messengers, these angels, were helping Jacob during this time. I'll leave it for you to think on. You can decide on that. But as we move on, we find here that the second thing that we must do when we're facing the fearful unknown is to humbly ask God for help. So first of all, we need to recognize God is with us. Secondly, we need to humbly ask God for help. Verse number 9. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and the God of my father Isaac, the Lord which said unto me, Return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother and from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. And thou saidest, I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. Now notice carefully this prayer. This is a very significant prayer. First of all, he recapped God's directions for his life. God had told him, go back home. God specifically told him that. We saw that in the last chapter. So he says, Lord, you told me to return into my country and my kindred, and you would deal well with me. You said that. So when he came to God, he was reviewing with God what God had told him to do. You know, that's an important thing. When we come to God and we're fearful of the future, we need to come to God and say, God, this is what you've told us to do in the scriptures. Here's what you said that we're to do in situations like this, and this is what you've told me to do. And then the second thing he did is he humbly thanked God for his goodness. Jacob realized that he was not worthy of any of this. Jacob was not coming to God and said, God, look at, listen, you told me that I was going to be a great man, and because I'm a great man, you need to help me in this. He didn't do that at all. He humbly came to God. And it's very significant. A thought that just came to my mind as I was reading through this just now, and is something that I've wondered, and I mentioned it before, but now I can see some evidence of it. It says that he said, when I left, I passed over this Jordan. All right, now that's significant. When he left and he crossed Jordan that first time, all he had was his walking stick. Evidently, he was walking. He said, that's all I had, is my walking stick. And now I come back with two bands and all these cattle and all these children and all these possessions. God, you've been good to me. And so he humbly thanked God for his goodness. And we too need to do that. When we come to God and we're praying with a broken heart or we're concerned heart, we say, God, this is what you told me to do. And Lord, thank you for all the blessings you brought to me. Now, does that remind you of any of our memory verses? Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Remember what God says? Cast the burden on the Lord. You know, he says that we're to be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Okay, so here he's doing exactly that. He told God the problem, and he's thanking God for it. And then in verse 11, he does the supplication. He says, deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother. Deliver me. I need your help. God, I need you. My brother was planning to kill me, and I'm heading back, and I'm scared. I'm fearful of him. Lord, please deliver me from my brother. And then in verse number 12, he claims God's promises. He claims God's promise. He says, Lord, you said, I will surely do thee good. You said that I would make your seed like the sand of the sea. You said that when I came back, that my seed would be great multitudes of numbered. You said that, God. And so he's reminding God of all these things that God said to him. Now, some of the verses that we've memorized that can help us along the same lines. Psalm 56:3, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. Psalm 55:22, cast thy burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. And you can finish the verse. But Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. These are all verses that go hand in hand. We can come to God and say, God, you said that if I was fearful, that I can give it to you. You said that if I would come to you, Lord, that you would meet these needs. You said, and claim those promises. And even in times of need, we need to come to God. We need to recap what God said. We need to humbly thank God. We need to ask God specifically for our help, and then claim God's promises. That's the way we pray when we're facing the unknown future. God works through our prayers. You know, Jesus urged his followers to pray. And that's us. Luke chapter 11, verses 9 and 10, where Jesus said, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and he that knocketh, to it shall be opened. So God specifically tells us to ask, and he'll meet the need. And even tonight, as we began, we did ask. We asked God to help Aaliyah with her needs. We asked God to help the ladies with their cancer. We ask God to meet the needs of these children that are not well. We ask God, and we can look to God and say, God, you told us we can ask. We have asked, and Lord, please meet that need. And then we also see in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, some important qualifications as we ask. He says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, we know that we have, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition we desired of Him. So God says we need to ask according to His will. Not everything is God's will. It's not always God's will that we get better. It's not always God's will that we be successful. It's not always God's will that we don't face trouble. Sometimes it is that God's will. But we can ask, and God says, if it's in my will, I will do it. I will do it. And so we need to come to God. The bottom line, though, is for us there in James chapter 4 and verse 2. In the end of the verse, he says, you have not because you ask not. Many times we just don't ask, and that's why we don't get. And so we need to come to God. There's nothing wrong with us coming to God. In fact, God wants us to come to Him and say, Lord, we've got an issue. We've got a problem. We've got a need. There's a brother or a sister who's hurting or is having problems. We need you to help. And we can come to God and say, God, would you please meet this need? And we need to believe God that He'll do just what He said He would do. So we find that the first thing we need to do when we're facing these problems is that we need to believe that God is with us. Secondly, we need to humbly ask God to help us. And number three, we need to prepare the best we can. Verses 13 to 23, he had just prayed, and we've seen verse 13, and he lodged there that same night and took of that which came to his hand a present for Esau, his brother. 200 she-goats and 20 he-goats and 200 ewes and 20 rams and 30 milch camels. All right, so these are milking camels with their colts, sorry, so the mother with her babe. And 40 kine, the kine were cows. And so he took 40 cows and then 10 bulls, the male cows, and then 20 she-asses and 10 foals. All right, so 20 of these female donkeys and their 10 babies. And he delivered them to the hand of his servants, every drove by themselves. And he said to his servants, pass over before me and put a space between drove and drove. And he commanded the foremost, saying, when Esau, my brother, meet thee, ask thee, saying, whose are thee? Whose art thou? Whither goest thou? And whose are these before thee? Then thou shalt say, they be thy servant Jacob's. It is a present sent from my unto my lord Esau. And behold, also he is behind us. And so he commanded the second and the third and all that followed the drove, saying, on this manner shall you speak unto Esau when ye find him. All right, so each one of these groups were to go one at a time, and they were to meet Esau and say to Esau, this is a present. Come from your brother, servant Jacob. Jacob's humbling himself here again. He's submitting himself to his brother, lowering himself, even though God said that he was going to be the leader. He's fearful of his brother. And, you know, it's important that we see this. You know, our fears involved, if our fears involved others, we have that we have maybe mistreated or we've hurt in some way, what are we supposed to do? Well, we need to get right with him. All right, he's trying to get right with his brother. He knew that he had cheated his brother. He knew that he had done his brother wrong. And he needed to get right with his brother. And so God says, he had just prayed and asked God for help. And then Jacob says, all right, now I got to do my part. And so his part was to try to make an appeasement. And you know, he wasn't sending out a letter of, I'm sorry, please forgive me. But there was a sense in which he was letting his brother know, I am your servant, and I'm, you know, here's a gift because I'm coming to meet you. And so he did that. You know, in our case, it's a matter of just thinking through, have I hurt someone? Do these people that, you know, that I'm going to be facing or whatever the situation may be, do I need to tell them I'm sorry? Do I need to make amends? Do I need to do something that I need to get taken care of? Jesus said there in Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. So he says you need to, if you know, you know, you're coming to worship God, and you remember that someone has something against you. He didn't say if you're ticked at somebody else. He said if you know somebody else is upset with you, you need to leave your gift there at the altar, and you need to go find them and get it right with them. Sort out what was wrong, make it right with them, and then come back and you can worship God. So confession is important, and we can do, you know, if we'll confess, it'll do wonders to calm us down in times of troubles. If we've done something that's wrong and we're facing troubles, that'll help a great deal to make sure that we're right with God. And Jacob sought to protect then his family, verse 22. And he rose up in the night and took his two wives and his two woman servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook, and he sent over all that he had. All right, so he crossed the river. He's heading down this direction. He hasn't crossed Jordan yet, but he's headed down this direction. So they crossed Jabbok. He's right up to the Jabbok River, and he puts his family on the other side, thinking, all right, at least they got some water between them. It'll help to protect if the enemy comes in, and Jacob's, you know, he comes in to try to attack. Now, exactly how this, you know, I'm trying to figure this out. What, had they already crossed, and maybe he sent them back over, or were, was Esau coming from this way? I don't know why, because if he crossed, it would put him closer to the enemy, in my thinking. So maybe they had already crossed over, they're headed down there, and then he panics, and he says, no, wait a minute, let's take him back and put him back over the other side of the water. Either way, he had water between his family and his brother. Right? So he was trying to protect them and keep them safe. And so we see that he was doing what he could to do that. And once we've asked God to protect us, and to fulfill his promises, then he expects us to do our part. Whatever that may be, whatever we need to do our part, to make things right, and to make sure that we're keeping the situation as calm as possible. Then number four, we see here that he sought God's blessing. And as you look at this chapter, probably this here is the most significant part of this chapter. If you're just going to name this chapter, this next section is probably what the chapter would get named after. We see him, verse number 24, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, and as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. Israel, for as a prince thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he says, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. All right, now, as you think through this, Jacob has sent his family over the brook, and he's left by himself. It's nighttime. He's out there in the moonlight, and God doesn't tell us a lot of details. You know, God a lot of times just gives us the basics and doesn't tell us all the details. But you picture in your mind, if you were Jacob, you were scared to death, your brother's coming with 400 men coming after you, as far as you're concerned, and you're scared. You've sent off some presents to him, hoping that they're going to calm him down. And you've sent your family over the brook on the other side for some a little bit of protection. And you're standing on the dangerous side of the brook. And you're all by yourself. And it's nighttime. And the moon's shining. What would you be doing? Well, my guess is he was praying. He was probably talking to God. And there, as he's talking to God, suddenly there's a man that appears. And he comes up to him. And he grabs Jacob. Well, Jacob does the normal thing. Fights back. And he sits there wrestling with this unknown being for the rest of the night. It was daybreak when the wrestle match was over. All night long he's wrestling with him. And halfway through this, the angel of the Lord touched his thigh and put it out of joint. And from that day on, Jacob limped. Because Jacob needed to understand God's in control here, not you. And That night, Jacob wrestled with a theophany. Probably Jesus Christ in human form. Or maybe God the Father in human form. A theophany or a Christophany. And that night he wrestled with God. And as he wrestled with God, what was Jacob's one thing that he asked for? In the whole thing he says, bless me. Bless me. I want your blessing. It's like he says, all right, I can, Jacob, you can tell here, he knew somehow that he was wrestling with someone that was divine. Whether he knew that it was actually a human form of God, or whether he thought it was an angel, or whether he thought it was someone sent from God, he knew that it was someone divine, and he said, I need a blessing. I've prayed, I've begged God to remember the things that he's told me to do. I begged him to remember the promises he made to me. And I've told him that, you know, I don't deserve any of this stuff and I want him to deliver me. I need the blessing of God. I need God's answer. I need you to bless me. And he said, I won't let you go. You know, as you're reading through that, it's a little hard to tell who's talking, whether it's Jacob or the theophany. But if you put that together, you can kind of figure that out. God speaking with Jacob, and Jacob says, I want you to bless me. And God says, what's your name? And he says, my name's Jacob. And he says, it's not going to be Jacob anymore. It's going to be Israel. God changed his name, gave him a new name, a name that would change his life and change the nation that would come from him. And God was answering his prayer, and God was meeting those needs and blessing him as he asked. And as he's wrestling with God there, God puts his leg out of joint, verse 25, and Jacob refused to stop wrestling with God until he got that blessing, verse 26. And he gets his new name, 28, and Jacob really believed at the end of it. You see in verse 30, and Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face. He said, I was wrestling with God. I was wrestling with God. And, you know, as we ponder this and think over this, Jacob knew that God was doing a work in him. And he knew that there was a struggle there. He knew that these things, and he was wrestling with God. In verse 31, and it came to pass, and as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel did not eat the sinew that shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh and the sinew shrank. All right, so I don't think they were talking about eating men. It was obviously the animals, that one muscle in the leg of the animals. They said that's the muscle that God touched and shrank on Jacob, and so we're not going to eat that out of respect for that. And it was a time that Jacob never forgot this. This was a life-changing event in Jacob's life. You know, remember, Jacob had his first life-changing event there when he saw the ladder there at Bethel. And now he wrestles with God at the brook Jabbok. And he's wrestling with God, and he says, God, I need you to bless me. And God changes his name, and God was, in a sense, God didn't say to him, I'm blessing you, but I guess he did there in verse 29. He says, and he blessed him there. So he asked for the blessing. God blessed him. Now, exactly what God said to him, you know, I don't think he just said, God bless you. He needed more than just a few words. He needed the actual blessing of God, an answer to his prayer is really what he was after. I need your answer. I need your help. And he had prayed and wrestled with God at that time. And when we face those fretting times, we need to take our burdens to the Lord, as we saw there in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. And what God said he would do, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so we need to give our burdens to the Lord, and God will give us the peace. And that's really, you know, when we give those things to the Lord, I think we need to do like Jacob did. We need to wrestle with God until God, and say, God, I don't want to let you go until you bless me, and I need that peace that you're going to give. And Jacob kept wrestling with God until he got the peace that he asked for. He asked for that answer to prayer, and God said, all right, I'll bless you. I will take care of you. And Jacob then was able to face his brother without the dreadful fear that he had prior to that. And Jacob, like Jacob, we need to beg God for his blessing. and what a difference that can make in our lives if we'll do that. You know, we need to be like Jacob and have a broken, surrendered heart before God. You know, that surrender, when he surrendered himself to God and he was broken, and God had to even humble him more with that limp in his thigh. It was that that God broke him so then God could bless him. And you know, many times God wants to bless us, but can't because our pride or our stubbornness or our rebellion gets in his way. And we need to humble ourselves before God. That's why Jesus told his disciples, you know, the many times they talked about discipleship, he says that they were to deny themselves, take up the cross and follow him. The denying of himself. That is critical for God's blessing. We need to deny ourselves first. And it may be, you know, that pride or the unsubmissive spirit or sinful habit or selfishness or something else needs to be, you know, we need to let it go in order to get God's blessing. And if we really want God's blessing in our lives, we need to just say, God, I'm willing to surrender all. I surrender all. I give you all. I'll let you have your way in my life. Now this evening, if you're facing some fearful unknown, and we need to do what Jacob did. And remember what Jacob did. The first thing he did is he realized that God was watching over him. God has guardian angels watching over us. And only God knows how many times they have protected us from danger and harm. You know, I've often wondered that. There's a few times in our lives when, I mean, I remember one time particularly, and I may have mentioned this to you, but, and Melody probably remembers it too, but it was more hair-raising to me. But we were in Papua New Guinea, driving home from town. We had just been to town. We had our car loaded with all the supplies that we had gotten, or we had a ute, a double cab ute, and we had several people in the ute with us. And the road was all just gravel, and we were traveling about 70 kilometers an hour, and that was pretty fast for the road, but it was sufficient for that. And we came upon a corner, and a big truck came from the other direction, one of those great big flatbed trucks loaded with people, probably about 40 people loaded in this big old truck. And he was taking the pig share of the road. And he didn't leave any room for me. And as we went around that corner, there was a bridge across there. And I still to this day have no idea how we got across that bridge without hitting that truck. I mean, I honestly have to say God must have lifted us up on that side and kept us from crashing over that, because it wasn't that wide. It didn't have barriers on it. It had just little cement ridges on the sides. And somehow we got across that. God protected us. And, you know, I truly believe that God's angels have his hand upon us. And there's been multitudes of times like that in our lives, and maybe yours as well, where God has done things that we can't explain. Maybe it's the angels watching over us. We need to remember that. God cares about us. And we need to humbly ask God for that help, that, as Jacob did, very specifically, very clearly ask God for the help. Remind God of what he said. Remind God of what his promises are. And then say, God, please, do what you said you would do. And then we need to do our part. Prepare the best we can. And take care of any shortcomings that we need to deal with. And then we need to beg God for blessing. And ask God to bless us as Jacob did. All right, let's keep these things in mind. And I think it can be a big help to each of us if we'll do that.